12:30 here, Thursday afternoon at KPTZ in Port Townsend, and time once again for Bureaucracy Now with Port Townsend City Manager John Morrow. Hey, John.
Hey, Taylor. Good to see you.
Yeah, good to see you. And I before we get to our guest, I had a little housekeeping piece from last week. You remember when I said thank you to all the people who filled in?
Oh, you missed somebody.
Oh, yes. And particularly because I was working off of an email that I'd sent out saying these are the people who are filling in, but it still had a couple of opens on it. And so at the last minute, I really had a white knight ride to my rescue. And that would be KPTZ board member Monica McHager, who took off her city council hat and put on her KPTZ hat and was the co-host with you here on Bureaucracy Now. So I'm really remiss.
She was so flawless that it's almost like it was like, you know, a sleight of hand in continuity. But I probably will, I deserve a licking on not speaking up and mentioning her name last week.
It had been several weeks. It had been early July. But she's wonderful on the radio. She'll be joining me next Thursday also as a pitch partner. Awesome. For our fundraiser from 2 until 3. So I'm looking forward to that. Okay. John, we have a guest with us today.
We do. I feel like it's better than mulling over what would be like to be in Georgia right now. Great track, and I like the backup. But we have so much to cover today, Taylor.
We do.
I'm really excited to introduce yet again our Director of Planning and Community Development, Emma Bolin. And Emma has a couple, I know we have a lot of things we can cover in a limited time. So this is like first installment. But I know that she just had this really interesting experience at the Planning Directors Conference in the state. And there was a particular workshop that caught fire amongst her and our department directors in terms of conversations after the fact and sharing. And it was about occupational burnout. And I feel like, you know, nothing than putting a friendly face and some insight into that, because my guess is not only are public institutions sort of struggling with that right now, but probably everybody is. So I welcome Emma on the show to talk about that. And of course, we can't get out of here without talking a bit about housing too.
Yeah. Welcome, Emma. And welcome back to Bureaucracy Now.
Well, thank you, Taylor. And thanks, John, for that introduction. I'm so happy to be here to talk about occupational burnout, which was presented by Janelle Teresiewicz from Aperture EQ at the Planning Directors Conference. And you know what? I learned that I sometimes am in an energy crisis. Have you ever been in an energy crisis?
Yeah. This is where we're exhausted and feel like there's a big hand pushing from behind and we can't keep all the balls in the air, that kind of thing.
Yeah, well, that's that kind of thing. Our body, our emotions, our mind, our spirit. It's actually a quiz, so you can see, like, it's an energy management audit where you're actually at. And I know for me, you know, sometimes I skip breakfast and I don't eat anything nutritious. So that has an impact on my day. And dare I say, all those other factors, they can add to something called occupational burnout, something that we as a city kind of want to share with our residents and, you know, see how we can together try and resolve occupational burnout, which is actually a big deal. There's even medical insurance coding for occupational burnout, and it leads to physiological impacts. Can make you sick.
And so this isn't unique to planning directors. This can happen to anybody.
It can happen to you, Taylor. It can happen to John. I dare say it can happen to anybody in our community. And it's the myth that we can multitask. Humans are not good at multitasking. And so what I learned is that it's better to try and manage our energy instead of time, because we need to figure out what is the high impact activity that is going to result in, you know, more bang for the buck if I spend my time on it, and figure out the things I can eliminate from my workload, how I can redesign processes and get more efficient, and what can I delegate, or if I'm in the workforce, like, how can we share the load with one another so everybody's job is easier?
Oh, and I think that's an important point too. Certainly as a manager, I always think I'm the only one that knows how to do this. But if you don't delegate to your team, then you end up taking on all of that responsibility, and your team's frustrated because they don't have the responsibility to get their work done. Is that the sort
exactly.
of thing? Yeah.
And Taylor, can I also draw Oh, sorry, Emma. I was just going to say, we've been having this sort of mini series on leadership too, and I just wanted to kind of link to that because I think it. I think Emma, if I'm not mistaken, you've now crested the 3 month or so mark as a City of Port Townsend staff member, and I think it's notable that within 3 months, not only I mean you've established yourself and you're leading a team and a really important piece of work around housing. But to think through occupational burnout as a new staff member and thinking through how the impacts, you know, are potential negative impacts to the team and your work and your progress, to do that before, I mean, I don't want to judge whether or not you are facing occupational burnout now, but, you know, as an early term employee with the city, I think that is gold. And I would say that is a form of leadership, thinking through a vision for the future where you got to get that, you know, you got to keep the team on the bus and energized to get to where we're going.
Yeah, you know, it actually involves asking everybody as a group where we spend our energy and collectively trying to reset the tone. And one important thing is, you know, we're all burnt out from meetings. So many meetings, and some of our codes are directing us to write really lengthy staff reports. That take a lot of time to write, but also for me to review. So it kind of just, you know, backs up the train a lot. So we're thinking of ways through like streamlining our permitting, having electronic permits, and how we navigate for trying to create middle housing, workforce housing. What does that actually look like for our team and also for our 2023 work plan? And I'll say that one cool thing I learned is that we all have circadian rhythms that say whether or not we're, you know, going to be active during the day or active at night. And generally humans, we sleep during the night. But we also have something called an ultradian rhythm. And that's how long we can spend deep diving on a particular task. And it's about 90 minutes. And so if we're deep diving, going from one meeting to the next, we get burnout without having, you know, a quick 10 minutes to reset, or if we're trying to juggle, you know, writing a staff report, but also helping a customer and writing an email to a customer and not paying attention during my meeting, which I've been guilty of in the past, it leads to burnout. So there's some ways I can think that the community can help us too, if you want to know more.
Okay, I'll bite. I had two questions, and one is, you know, how would we manage energy versus time? But I guess the more broad question is you have been to this and gotten something out of it. Is this information or the materials from the presentation available? Is this something that the general public might be able to jump in with?
Well, that's a great question. And that's why I'm here today, Taylor, because I am hoping people are listening. And I hope to promulgate it with my team. But I know that Janelle, this is something that all the planning directors are going to be spreading to their, you know, leadership teams and organizations. So this is me doing my duty to, you know, help spread the word about this.
This better than a PowerPoint, Taylor.
Yeah.
Getting an iterative conversation.
Well, I am, but I'm not sure that yeah. Which is a good it's a good reminder, by the way, that that you're listening to Bureaucracy Now, and we take emails at dj@kptz.org. If you have a question, send it in. I'm having a quick look to see if one is there.
And I'll say too, while you do that look, I mean, thinking about emotional stress, I mean, just as a community, we've said this ever since, you know, day one with COVID, and it's not like that's the only, you know, real stress in our community, but it's certainly amped up some of the anxiety. And I think there's recent research, I might have seen an article in today's paper actually about, you know, quantifying the impact on how people interact. I mean, actually noting psychological differences in how people actually in their personalities based on the trauma from something like a pandemic. So, you know, how that works when we serve the public. We're individually impacted. Our teams are impacted because they have families or they have loved ones, and those we serve. I mean, we're on the same team here. We recognize that those who might be impatient or maybe not of the best manners at the front desk or call, not to justify that or to excuse bad behavior, but a little bit of empathy there goes a long way. I mean, mm-hmm. we're all stressed out, and mm-hmm. so if we just recognize that, maybe it takes a little bit of heat off.
You know, it's interesting for me the effect that what I would say the changes that are going on, and seems to be a period of rapid change in our society, and we're seeing it reflected here locally. In terms of the pandemic and working from home and the fact that we're, here on the radio discussing occupational burnout and managing, energy versus time. This is really very, especially as a retired manager, it's exciting for me to sort of see how things are moving forward. It's pretty cool.
And the future. Yeah. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Emily. Yeah.
You go ahead.
I was just going to say, we're trying to get, we had such an awesome conversation as department directors yesterday, just thinking through and really inspired by what Emma came back learning about and really fostered a conversation about, what's the right level of innovation and creativity in the workplace and what's pretty traditional, a workplace environment that hasn't changed much over many, many decades. What kind of changes are actually necessary? And what speed, actually, because some of these things we might want to do to be more effective or more strategic or deliver better quality service, we have to kind of, sort of temper a little bit with community expectations and what other people are used to. So it's kind of a dance here as we try to innovate and change and do things differently. There's great opportunities to get super creative, but, there are some trade-offs there, too.
Yeah, absolutely. What you're talking about is reframing, John. And reframing is, focusing on flexibility rather than consistency and looking at things from a new angle. My team's effort to analyze our workload and how we're going to do the work is one way. But one thing that we're thinking about a lot is how we get sucked into triangulation a lot. And as public servants, we always want to go the extra mile. But sometimes we're pulled in to be rescuers in situations beyond what we can actually rescue. We take it to the limit of our ability, or we have to be a persecutor since we administer the code. And the way to sort of challenge and reframe the triangulation cycle is to ask victims to try and create, try to innovate, and as a rescuer, try to be a coach, or as a persecutor, try and challenge assumptions and the status quo. So reframing is really important as we try to figure out how we do the work.
I'd also go back to Taylor, maybe we can back up and try to get not necessarily a textbook definition of triangulation, but just unpack that concept for listeners.
I'd be interested in that.
Yeah, Emma, do you want to take a stab?
Yeah, so triangulation is, this three roles, each point of the triangle, and each role player sometimes will switch roles, and it's kind of like a perpetual cycle that doesn't really accomplish anything. So it's kind of like in terms of the energy spectrum, we're wasting a lot of energy and time, which is not what we want to do. And the three roles are the victim. So an example would be somebody didn't do an assignment in time and they say, well, I didn't know I was supposed to do it. I have all these other assignments, poor me. And then you have a rescuer, somebody that says, well, let me help you with that. Let me see if, I can do the work for you. And then you have a persecutor, which sometimes is the boss, who says, you should have gotten it done, and these are our workplace expectations. And it may not actually resolve itself. And so you can reframe the triangulation triangle, so to speak, and the roles become a creator, somebody who creates change or creates, what the workplace needs to be in order to be effective.
This replaces the victim, right? Okay.
The place is the victim.
Okay.
And then you also have the rescuer now becomes a coach. So somebody is going to not solve all of your problems. That's, I think, you know, like being codependent or, where somebody, you know, basically is helping you and you're never really becoming independent for yourself.
Enabling.
So instead of that, just have a coach. Enabling. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks for enabling me.
good one.
And then we have the persecutor becomes a challenger. So even though sometimes, you know, we are the enforcers of code, you know, how can we challenge things, maybe be more flexible in our administration so that we can, you know, stop the endless cycle of not getting anywhere?
Well, I would think, and again, I haven't applied for a permit in years, but I would think that from a challenging standpoint, rather than just say, you know, folding your arms and saying no, you could say, hey, I challenge you to see if you can make some changes in your project so it comes closer to the, you know, to the ideal that we're going for. And that's where, what do they call it? Doesn't the director have some leeway in terms of there's a lot of stuff in the code that says they can go to the director for a exemption or I don't know your language.
But I
could see that in the case of applying for a permit, you know, the challenging rather than rejecting.
That's when we become a coach sometimes.
Yeah,
could be both.
I think we get better results that way.
I mean, it's great to apply this to a planning and permitting and development context, because I think that's, you know, I'm a strong suit and thinking clear-eyed through how we can, you know, set the playing field so that there's less confusion, conflict, and triangulation. I mean, but this concept is actually something pretty active everywhere, irrespective of specific roles. And, you know, one of those things, I'm honored to give a panel presentation to a ICMA conference next week online, and it's about partnerships. And one of the points that I want to articulate there, and maybe also here, is that the trust building and the direct conversations around difficult issues is absolutely critical, because otherwise, if you're using a third person to like make a point for you or kind of try to undercut an answer you've already gotten via a different direction, there is an extraordinary opportunity cost. You're wasting so much time and life force. And you know what? We don't have unlimited time. We need to kind of get stuff done. So it's almost like Brené Brown saying clear is kind, and being able to say, hey, this isn't going to work for this reason. And, you know, I can't say that I do that perfectly, but in conversations with people calling me for an exception or wanting an ear, I mean, our job is to be fair and consistent. And, you know, think about the long term of our community. But I feel like, you know, being quite honest up front is a great way to control some of that bad behavior.
I'm
the loss of energy and life force. We just want to get on. I mean, frankly, we just want to get on and make this an even better community, you know, for everybody. And I think if we're putting out fires all the time and reinterpreting, you know, is this true? Is this a threat? It takes us our eye off the ball. And makes things hyper inefficient.
Okay. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Bureaucracy Now with Port Townsend City Manager John Morrow. We're talking today with Emma Bolin, Director of Planning and Development. I think I got that one right.
Community. We put the community back.
And we are talking about occupational burnout and some information she just got at a recent planning conference that she attended, and how it applies to broadly to. And I would agree with you, John. I see some of these same, you know, these same kind of scenarios playing out even within an all volunteer organization like the radio station, victim, rescuer, persecutor. Yeah, mostly victim and rescuer. It's volunteer. No, I'll do that.
I thought they're all rescuers, actually, Taylor. I thought KPTZ, like community radio, is like the antidote. to what ails us.
We hope it is. We certainly want it to be. We got about 5 minutes left, and I wanted to get. We have one other topic we're going to talk about, and I was very excited to hear about this when you sent it in your email. Is there's an event going on tonight?
Yeah.
You want to tell us about that?
Well, I'll quickly unpack it and then over to Emma because she's presenting at this event.
Ah.
But I'll say there's at least two because there's tons going on all the time here in Port Townsend. But, you know, one, I just wanted to let people know our stakeholder committee for the future of the golf course in Mountain View campus. Their first meeting is tonight. So that's pretty exciting. And then immediately following, there's an event that Emma's going to be presenting at with Mayor Faber. So over to you, Emma.
Okay, so this is the Under the Tent event hosted by the Housing Solutions Network. It's the big tent on San Juan Avenue. You can't miss it. And tonight's topic is on accessory dwelling units. So there's going to be discussion about, you know, financing, how to build, zoning, how to make it affordable, which is kind of the big question, I think, is, you know, how do we make it more affordable? And a lot of jurisdictions don't see very many ADUs being built, despite our best efforts. So I'm really excited to hear what ideas the community has to provide. And we'll also be, you know, unpacking some of the stuff that, you know, we've talked about in previous Under the Tent events that hopefully will inform our 2023 work plan. So David Faber and I will be talking about that. Can I talk about Evans Vista a little bit, John?
Oh my gosh, like I'm excited. Let's get people aware where we're at.
Okay, we can't forget about that. So next week, we are going to request qualifications for a firm that can do a master plan of the workforce housing types, as well as, you know, architectural style, design, preliminary engineering, and some of the survey and binding site plan work to actually get all of this apportioned out. And so that's going to be a huge project. We have a sizable amount of money from the county through their ARPA funding for this work. So we're hoping to, you know, attract a qualified firm. And then in 2023, the public's going to have a chance to be a part of the outreach and inform us on what they want that to look like.
The current, like, non-scripted, you know, kind of rough vision is that we're looking at on those 14 acres purchased by a state grant that the city received or state funding, there's about 8 acres of developable land. We're sizing up whether we can get up to about 150 units of, you know, mixed, but, you know, quite sizable workforce housing in that location.
Yeah. We mentioned two meetings here. So the Under the Tent meeting about ADUs is on it's on San Juan Avenue in the big tent, and I know where it is. You can't miss it. Just go down San Juan Avenue until you see the big tent. It's 5 to 7 p.m.
That's correct.
Okay, and that's open to the public, and mm-hmm. and the public is encouraged to attend this. Now you also mentioned the golf course. Can you give the details on that?
I can certainly do that too.
Okay.
So we have a stakeholder group representing a ton of interests in local, nearby, landowners and organizations, really meant to kind of work through what could be, you know, an interesting opportunity to make a lot work in that space. And that could include golf. You know, we're calling the question on how best to use that 58 acres of municipal land. And one of the ways we're trying to do that is through a stakeholder group that starts their meetings this afternoon from 3 to 5 p.m. It's at City Hall. The public can attend. There's not going to be public comment because it'll go to the Parks Board. It'll go to City Council. There's mm-hmm. there's plenty of opportunity for city for public comment. But that group is going to start wrestling with the opportunity and how to work together. And that starts tonight. And you could also attend. I believe you can attend virtually. I'll also say that we put a new website or a new web page out on the city website. You can go to cityofpt.us and you can see on the right side a little banner and it's about the golf course in Mountain View campus. And you can click on that to learn more.
Okay, good. Because I keep seeing signs saying save the golf course, and I realized that that's exactly how you do it, is you get involved with attending the meetings, listening in.
Well said.
Yeah. Okay. We are about out of time. Have we covered everything? You know, once again, you've just mentioned your leadership thing again, but it kind of went flying past us.
Well, I mean, it's a little bit subtle here because, you know, having a department director with a massive portfolio, just talking about occupational burnout and what's on the horizon for housing, you get a sense and a flavor for where Emma's thinking here. And it's so much more exciting than having just me talk to you about stuff. So, you know, expect to hear Emma's voice on this show regularly. I like to cycle through department directors, city council members. I think the mayor is coming back on in a few weeks.
Oh,
so
good to hear.
We'll keep the leadership vibe going, but this is just one angle on that, Taylor. So,
well, as I say, we've had Emma on before, and I'm glad to have her on again. We'll look forward to having her on in the future. I think the housing is an important topic in Port Townsend. It seems to be at the top of everybody's mind. Emma are sort of on the, I don't know, on the cutting edge of that. It's something we need to work on. And there's a bunch of different ways we could do it. Evans Vista is one, ADUs is another one, but it's not exclusively that. So there's lots of good stuff to do.